yourselves to Acts chapter 2, our current series and is, that we've been sharing with you is entitled Fresh. Come on, say that with me, Fresh. And our premise of this series that we began a few weeks back is that God was stirring something in my own heart and challenging me by the Holy Spirit, and I was desiring something fresh from the Lord and something real, something relevant, something revitalizing in my own life. Because how many will admit and acknowledge that in life there are times when things get stale? Come on. Things get stagnant. We feel sour. We feel like we get stuck. And so my prayer in this series is that myself and you and we together will experience a fresh encounter with God by the Holy Spirit. And so our current message in this series is called Fresh Church. Say that with me, Fresh Church. And so this morning, we're taking a fresh look at the church. And if you will take out of your bulletin, do you still have these cards in your bulletin? If you would take these out, I want you to see that. And I hope you've had this in there for 3 weeks, and I want you to get this in your heart and your spirit, because it sums up fresh vision for the church, I believe, is to take a fresh look at Acts chapter 2 and how God built the church and how he designed the church to be. And we shared with you that there are three aspects. There's fresh vision, fresh mission, and fresh passion. And we talked to you about the fact that Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and the wind and the fire and the languages, and he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and you'll see wonders in the heavens and on the earth." And that's where we get our vision from. What is this? What is Bethel Christian? Who are we as a church? What does God want us to be? And that's where we get our fresh vision statement. I want you to read that with me in the white under fresh vision. Come on, read that with me. A spirit-filled community church touching heaven and earth. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, help me now. All right? Come on, a spirit-filled community church touching heaven and earth. That's taken right from Acts chapter 2. Who are we to be as a church? God said, "I would pour out my spirit and we'll see wonders in the heavens and on the earth." And then we talk about fresh mission, where Peter continued in his message on the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed. And he shared that this Jesus in Acts chapter 2, this Jesus whom you crucified, this Jesus who did miracles, this Jesus who died and rose again, this Jesus who ascended, this Jesus is both Messiah and Lord. And we told you that the mission statement of the church in Acts and the mission statement of the church today can be summed up in one word, and that one word is Jesus. Come on, say that with me. Jesus. One word, Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's why we exist, is because of what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus can do for others. So read the mission statement that we've taken from Acts chapter 2. Come on, read that with me in the white under there. Come on, say it with me. Jesus has changed our lives with his love for God, all people, and us as individuals. Our family of spirit-filled believers exists to live in the power of Christ, learn to become like Christ, love as the family of Christ, and to lead others to Christ. I want you to get that vision statement and mission statement in your heart and spirit as to who we are and why we exist as we model this church according to the pattern that Jesus built his church in the book of Acts. And then the third thing, if you'll flip onto the backside, you'll see fresh passion. Fresh passion. And that's where we've been focusing our message on fresh church, because the church was committed to 10 values. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says that when thousands of souls were saved and the church was birthed, it says that they then continued steadfastly. That means they were passionately committed to certain values and certain principles. And they're listed then in the rest of the verses, in verses 42 to 47 in Acts chapter 2, are the 10 values that are on this mission, on this card that we have for you. These are the 10 things that the early church was passionately committed to. These need to be the 10 things that we as a church are passionately committed to. And this is when we are passionately committed to these values, how many know we will experience freshness from God? We will experience the power of God. That church had persecution. That church had early church faced problems, but they lived in the power of God and saw the miraculous and overcame greatly and impacted the world for Jesus because they were committed passionately to these 10 values. And so we've been talking about them. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the first one. They were committed steadfastly, the Bible says, to the apostles' doctrine. We talked about sound doctrine. That message is available by CD, or that message is available on our website. And then last week, we introduced the second value that we need to be committed to, and that is hospitality. Say that with me, hospitality. Or genuine fellowship. Say fellowship. You see, they were not only passionately committed to apostles' doctrine, but the second value that the early church was committed to and we need to be committed to is to hospitality or genuine fellowship. And so last week we introduced the definition, and we gave you the definition of true fellowship or biblical fellowship. The word in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 for the word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, which means communion. To be in communion. How many know fellowship is more than having a dinner and an informal gathering? Now, we call that in church fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we need informal gatherings. We need dinners and functions where we can relate to each other on that level. But listen, the biblical definition for fellowship is a deep spiritual connection with God and with each other, a deep spiritual closeness with God and each other, and a deep spiritual commitment to God and to one another. And the early church was committed to that. And we as a church need to value and be committed to true fellowship and to hospitality. We shared with you last week from Philippians 2. I believe Apostle Paul gave the definition of true fellowship, the biblical definition. Look at these four aspects that he wanted for the church at Philippi. He said, I want you to be of like mind. I want you to have the same love. I want you to share a common purpose. I want you to value others above yourself. Notice those four important aspects of what biblical and genuine fellowship is all about. Now, we not only gave you the definition last week of true fellowship, and what we also did is we introduced the three dimensions of biblical and true and genuine fellowship. Last week, we gave you the first dimension. There are three aspects to biblical fellowship. The first one is that fellowship is a mutual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. How many know before we can have true fellowship horizontally with each other, we need to have fellowship vertically with God? When we have a mutual relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's the foundation and what brings us together into true fellowship. And we talked about that last week. Last week we gave you three principles about relationship with God and true fellowship. Again, get the CD or go on the website and you can do the podcast free and listen to the messages anytime, anywhere that you go on all of those devices, which I don't always understand, but I know you do. But anyways, we talked about the first dimension was mutual relationship with God or fellowship with God. Now, the second dimension of true fellowship, and that's where I want to focus this morning, is on shared friendship with the body of Christ and in the body of Christ. How many know you can't have genuine fellowship if we don't, biblical fellowship, if we don't first have a mutual relationship with God through Jesus, and if we don't have a shared friendship with each other in the body of Christ? How many know you need both? And they're both very important. First and foremost is our relationship with God, but how many know then God cares about our relationship and our friendship one with another in the body of Christ? How many know, I hear people say sometimes, and it makes me cringe. I hear some people say things like, I need God in my life, but I don't need the church. Wow. I hear people sometimes say, I'm good and okay with Jesus and all, but I'm just not good and okay with all those Christians. Now, I'll grant you, there are some Christians I'm not okay with on some things. And I don't always agree. Just like in families, you don't always agree with everybody. Everybody doesn't have the same level of relationship. But listen to me, genuine fellowship is not just relationship with God. It must be relationship and friendship one with another in the body of Christ. You got to have both. You see, Jesus is the head of the body. The church is the body connected to the head. And how many know a body without a head, or a head without a body, or a body without a head, doesn't have life and doesn't have health and doesn't function? We need each other. We're better together. And we need to understand and we need to learn to value more and be passionately committed, like the early church was, to shared friendship with each other. Relationship with God first and foremost, but then shared friendship one with another in the body of Christ. I love the way the body of Christ is described in 1 Corinthians 12. Just like the physical body has many parts, but is one body, so also is the body of Christ. For the body is not one part. How many know you alone is not the church? Oh, I'm the church. I don't need anybody else. I'm the church all by myself in the woods. I'm the church all by myself at home watching church on TV. No, you see, the body of Christ is not all you by yourself. The body of Christ, while we are many, is one. And we are one, but many. And one part cannot say to the other, I have no need of you. I need Jesus, but I don't need you. Could you imagine your hand saying to your foot, I don't need you? Could you imagine your arm saying to your leg, I'm better than you and I don't need you? No. And the same is true in the body of Christ. We need each other. As much as sometimes we drive each other crazy, come on, say amen. As much as we're all different, come on, say amen. As much as we sometimes don't always get along or agree with everything, come on, you were quick on that, amen. How many know, nonetheless, we're still the body of Christ. And we need each other. We need each other. We're better together. Come on. We're better together. And I love this. It says, there should be no division in Christ. But each part should have the same care, notice, one for another. We need to care for one another. We need to fellowship. We need to connect with others, be close to each other, be committed to each other. Because together we make each other better and stronger. And notice this, now we are the body of Christ. Notice this, and members together with Christ. You can't be a member without being connected to Christ and connected to each other. And we are members with Christ and with one another. Now listen, whether you are an official member of a local church or not, how many know if you're a believer, you are a member of the body of Christ? Say, well, I didn't sign my name to a membership application to church. And that's fine, and we believe in membership, and we encourage that, and so forth. But maybe there's some who don't want to do it. That's fine. We respect that. But listen, whether you are technically a member of a local body, whether we understand or not, as a believer, we are members of the family of God and the body of Christ. I've said it before. You've heard me say it over again. When you got saved, I came with the package. You're stuck with me. Come on, you can say amen. Because guess what? When I got saved, you came with the package. I'm stuck with you too. Oh, come on. Why? Because we are members together. We're members together, what? With Christ and with each other. That's genuine fellowship. That's what the early church was committed to passionately, and what we need to be committed to. What is hospitality? Is the key. Hospitality is the value that makes fellowship work. And what is hospitality? Is hospitality is a gift and a ministry that God has given to the body to function. And I believe what hospitality really is developing a culture where all people feel welcomed, valued, and loved. Everybody in this room wants to feel welcomed. Everybody in this room wants to feel valued. Everybody in this room wants to feel loved. And that's what the body of Christ, that's what the church should be about. That's what we should be passionately committed to. Not that we agree on everything. Well, I'm a pre-tribber, I'm a post-tribber. Okay, I'll wait for you in heaven if you want to hang around. I'm kidding. We can disagree on end time truth. We can even disagree on certain things. But you know what? We all want to be welcomed. We all want to be valued. We all need to be loved. And that's with the body of Christ. That's with the family of Christ. That's when we'll experience something fresh. That's when the Holy Spirit will move in our life and in our church, is when we are committed to God and each other in genuine fellowship. I'll tell you what, my heart has always been as a pastor. As a matter of fact, at our 30th anniversary, my one son, Andrew, made the comment publicly at the luncheon, was that he picked up on this, and I didn't. He said it. He said, the thing he observed about me over the years as pastoring for 30 years is that my goal was not to build a church, but to build a family. He caught that heart. I was glad he understood that my goal and my heart as a pastor for 30 years has not been so much to build a big church, but to build a family where people care, where people love, where people value, where people are welcome, even if we don't agree on every issue, even if we don't all look the same, talk the same, think the same, even sometimes act the same, but we are family, one with another. Say hospitality. There's a story about Cowboy Joe. Uh-oh, somebody said uh-oh is right. Cowboy Joe was telling his fellow cowboys about his first visit to the big city church. He went on to say, when I got there, they had me park my old truck in the corral, Joe began. You mean the parking lot, interrupted Charlie. Yeah, whatever. I walked up the trail to the door, Joe continued. You mean the sidewalk to the door, Charlie corrected him. Yeah, whatever. Inside the door, I met this dude, Joe went on. You mean the usher, Charlie explained. Well, yeah, whatever. The usher led me down the chute. Joe said, what are you talking about the chute? You mean the aisle. Then he said, yeah, well, that dude or usher or whatever he's called, he led me down the stall and he put me in a seat. Joe continued, pew. He said, yeah, you're right. That's what the pretty lady said to me, the one I sat down next to. Listen, hospitality starts at the street, all the way to the seat, and then back to the street. That example of Cowboy Joe probably could have met someone like Greg in the parking lot, even though he was just a dude to him. Or he could have met someone like Janine or Terry or one of our greeters at the door. Or he could have met someone, an usher inside, or would have been greeted by one of our, Katarina or one of the ladies or somebody in the nursery. You see, hospitality is where everybody feels welcomed. Everybody feels valued. Everybody feels loved. That's the kind of culture and climate we need and must be committed to, just like the early church was. Now, this morning, I want to give you three simple principles about hospitality. First of all, I believe that hospitality is and should be the identity of membership. Going along with our membership to the body of Christ, hospitality ought to be our identity. If people are going to say anything about this church, let them say, those people really love God and they love each other. I felt welcome there. I felt at home. That should be the identity of the body of Christ. That should be our trademark. That should be our reputation. And it's something that we need to continue to cultivate and to grow and to expand. I love what Romans 12 tells us. He says, so we being many are one body, and every one members. Notice every one of us have to be committed to hospitality. I mean, you know, hospitality is not just for the welcome team. Hospitality is not just for the greeter at the door. Hospitality is for every one of the members. It ought to be the identity and the trademark and the reputation and the heart of every believer in the body. Every member, one to another, each having different gifts according to the grace of God. Yes, some of us are better at the door than others. You could say amen to that. Some people should not have their not-so-smiley face at the door. I'm sorry. Don't be offended, but some people don't always come in with a smile. We don't want you at the door, but there's a place for you. It's just not at the door. Is that okay? Everybody has a different gift. Some people are better behind the scenes. Come on, some people are better covered by a sock. Nobody likes to look at everybody's feet, but the feet are still important. Oh, come on. But every member should be committed to hospitality, whether we're in the front of the scenes or behind the scenes, whether we're in the platform or we're in the pew or we're in the parking lot or wherever we are. Every member, whatever your gift is, whatever strength you have, whatever is the best area for you or the best spot for you, everyone should be committed to hospitality. Everyone should be committed to, notice this, distributing to the necessity of saints. And I like the fact that the Bible uses the word necessity. How many know hospitality should not be an option, it should be a necessity. Hospitality is not optional in the body of Christ. It needs to be a necessity. We minister to the needs. Listen, you don't know which day you might need that smile. Oh, come on. You don't know which day you would need that, God bless you, we're so glad you're here. You don't know which day you might need, oh, come on. And when we sow it, we'll reap it. And we are committed to it, we will experience it in our life. Notice this, by giving yourselves, each member, to hospitality. Say hospitality. Hospitality should be the trademark, the identity of membership. The second thing, or rather, no, let me give you one more scripture. John 13, 35 says this, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. How do people know that we're really believers and that we're connected to Jesus and that we have a relationship with Jesus? Not necessarily by our sermons and our songs. How many know they'll know it by our love? One for another. This is how men will know that you are my disciple. If and when you have brotherly love, one for another. That's what hospitality is all, the identity of membership. The second thing that hospitality is, it's a quality of leadership. This is very interesting. The scripture tells us that all members, and part of being in membership with the body of Christ is to give yourself to hospitality. That should be our identity and our trademark and what we all are committed to. But what's interesting is that leaders need to model hospitality first and foremost. Quality of leadership. God places an importance on leadership, and God places an importance on the fact that leaders are committed to hospitality. Let me show you two scriptures that are very interesting. 1 Timothy 3, 2 says this, if one desires to be a bishop or a leader, they desire a good work. For a bishop or a leader must be blameless, not perfect, but blameless, faithful to their spouse, sober, diligent, acting with appropriate behavior, given to hospitality, able to teach. Isn't it interesting that God places a requirement for me as a pastor and any believer and any leader who is a believer, who anyone who wants to be in a leadership position, who wants to, notice he places on equal value with teaching and character is hospitality. Given themselves to hospitality. Well, I'm just not good with people. Then learn. I just have a hard time. It's not my personality. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because a quality of leadership is hospitality. God places a serious importance on it and says that as a leader, even if it's not our gift, even if it's not our, oh, pastor, but you're just good with people. Honestly, I wasn't. And I'm not always. But you learn and you grow and you develop. And you know what you do? You start by saying, God, put a love in my heart for people. How many know when you ask God to put a love in your heart for people, it gets messy? Oh, come on. Anybody who's ever had a messy, oh, don't go there. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you try to be hospitable, you try to welcome and love people, and you don't always get love back. And sometimes you get hurt. And sometimes people One minute you're the best thing since sliced bread, and the next week you're the worst thing that ever walked the planet. I know, I've been there. But you know what? As a leader, the moment I stop loving people and thinking people can change and will be hospitable to people, today I need to step out of this pulpit and not do what I do. Oh, come on. Aren't you glad God hasn't given up on me? I can't give up on you. Matter of fact, so good to see some of you here this morning. I'm not going to call you out. We missed you. We're glad you're here. We need you here. We love having you here. Don't feel bad you haven't been here. Just be here next time. Is that okay? See, I'm better, you're better, we're all better when we're all here. It matters. And a quality of leadership. I love what Titus, he goes on to say, a bishop or a leader must be blameless as a servant of God, not self-willed, not easily angered, not given to much wine, not violent, not greedy, but a lover of hospitality. Wow, that shows up again. Isn't it interesting how hospitality shows up with leadership qualities and leadership requirements? For the third thing, hospitality is not only an identity of membership. Every believer who's a member of the body of Christ needs to commit themselves to hospitality. It's a quality of leadership, and it's also a ministry of stewardship. How many of you talk about stewardship, and what does most people think about? Giving money. How many know giving love is stewardship? Giving a smile is stewardship. Giving a hug or giving a handshake or giving a I'll pray for you is stewardship. It's a ministry. Listen, everybody is in the ministry, not just Pastor Farina and those on our ministry team. Everybody is in ministry. Everybody has a ministry. And the Bible says every believer has been given the ministry of hospitality. The ministry of hospitality. Listen to what the Bible says. I love these scriptures. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, use hospitality one to another without grumbling. Let me stop there for a moment. Oops. Good thing I dropped that. It distracted me a moment because I'm about to say something. Use hospitality without grumbling. Oh, we got to do that minute mingle again. Where did they come up with that stupid 60-second clock? You know where we got it from? Right here in the Bible. Use hospitality, listen, without grumbling. Oh, he's going to make us put our hand on the shoulder of the person next to us and pray for them now. Why does he do that? I'm embarrassed. It's weird. Doesn't he know this is 2018? Yes, but we're committed to hospitality, to pray for each other. Oh, come on, do it without grumbling. Oh, man, I'm in the nursery again this week. Oh, God. Didn't I just do it 4 weeks ago? You still got to love me. Use hospitality. Listen, how many know it's not the action only, it's the attitude that makes hospitality successful? People know when we're genuinely not happy to see them. Oh, come on. People genuinely know when they don't feel welcome when you go, oh, glad you're here. Again, if that's you, just don't go to the door, please. Stay in the back. Do hospitality. Listen, use hospitality without grumbling. As everyone, say everyone. Well, that's just for them. No, everyone has received the gift. You didn't know you had a gift. I'd venture to say nobody in this room still has a gift unwrapped under your tree at home, if your tree is still up. I know somebody who still has a tree up. I'm not going to call them out, but not here. I mean, when you get a gift, you can't wait to rip into it. And you want to know it? There's a lot of Christians in the body of Christ, they've got a gift sitting under the tree of the cross. And it's still unwrapped. We haven't unwrapped our gift of hospitality. We haven't even tried. You know what today's world is? Slip in the back row, slip out. That's why people like to go to larger churches sometimes. I've had people tell me that. We love your preaching, Pastor. You people are very wonderful and nice there. But I just like to slip in and slip out. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want no one to know. You know what? That's not real fellowship with God. That's not hospitality. That's not really being a believer. Oh, come on. The body of Christ was meant to be connected and in closeness and in communion and connected to each other and committed to each other. Not just I slip in and slip out. Ministers, everyone's been given a gift. And notice this, even so minister, serve. That's what a minister is, a servant. Serve the same one to another as good stewards. You want to be a good steward to God? It's not only how much money you give to the Lord. It's not only how much you pray and do. You want to be a good steward? How much hospitality do we show? How much kindness and love? How much do we make people feel special and valued and important? Notice this, stewards of the manifold grace of God. God showed so much mercy and grace to you, we ought to extend that same mercy and grace to others. Say, but not good. God's given you that ability to do that if you'll just commit yourself to it and ask the Spirit to help you, because it's part of stewardship, one to another. You see, there's a principle in the Bible that the Bible is filled with one another's scriptures. I'm going to read them fast. I'm not going to take the time. I didn't take the time to put all the on the screen because we'd be here for too long. And I know that you love me, but you don't love me that much. And I don't even love me that much to put them all up on there and take. But I'm going to read them fast, and you can get the tape, or I'll make a copy of all the scriptures, the sheet on Wednesday or something if you want it. But listen, just listen to these scriptures. Of the one another principle, over and over in the Bible says one another, one another, one another, one another, one another. John 13, 34, a new commandment I tell you, love one another as I have loved you. Romans 12, 10, be kind one to another, preferring one another. Romans 14, 13, let no man judge one another. Romans 15, 7, wherefore receive or welcome one another. Romans 15, 14, admonish, caution, and warn one another. Romans 16, 16, greet one another. Galatians 5, 13, serve one another. Galatians 5, 15, do not bite or devour one another. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4, 2, forbearing or being patient one with another. Ephesians 4, 32, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Colossians 3, 9, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, edify or build up one another. Hebrews 3, 13, but encourage one another daily. Hebrews 10, 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, one another, as others are in the habit of doing. James 4, 11 and 5, 9, speak not evil or complain about one another. James 5, 16, pray one for another. And 1 Peter 3, 8, have compassion one another. Over and over in the Bible tells us that we need to adapt to the one another principle because we need one another. Those scriptures I just read, those qualities are the ministry of hospitality that we as stewards and servants of God need to commit ourselves to pray for another, to talk well of another, to bear one another, to forgive, to love, to greet, to receive, over and over, to serve one another. Hospitality, the identity of membership, the quality of leadership, and the ministry of stewardship. 1 Corinthians 8, 4 says this, they pray for us and encourage us that we would receive the gift and take upon us the ministry of the fellowship of the saints. It's my ministry, it's your ministry to show hospitality and to adopt the one another principle in the body of Christ. Notice it's both a gift and a ministry. And all of us as believers have received it. Now, I want to take a couple of minutes. And it's, wow, even I got to look at it. It's still early. That's good. Some of you can say amen. I want to take a couple of minutes and just point out hospitality here in the body of Christ. Some of the things that sometimes we don't notice and we don't always talk about, and I know some people are not here because it's summer and vacations, and I'm going to mention some people that are gone or away or for other various reasons, but I can't help that. How many know that's just about any Sunday? I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just the way it works with schedules in life. And so I want to take a moment and just show you some of the things that we're doing right now and that we've developed and we're committed to. And this is just a scratch, and we want to develop more. We want to do better. I said we want to do better as a body of Christ to really focus on hospitality and fellowship and be the kind of church that every person feels welcomed and valued and loved. And there's some of the things. How many know nobody ever thinks that the building and grounds is hospitality? But how many know the first time someone pulls up to our property, how many know the first thing they'll notice is weeds or pretty flowers? Oh, come on. How many know those pretty flowers that Jim and Terry, and they're not here this morning. I know they're not here. But and they're with us most time. And again, if they're not here this morning, it's because they're either away or life, and just like the weeks you're away because of life. Please, I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I just mean that in a way that I can't let them stand. But Jim and Terry usually sit right over here. How many know they commit a lot of hours, a lot of days to make those flowers and those beds look really good? And there's Dwayne and others and Ron and Sherry spent a lot of hours in that community garden, right? Making sure things look good. Why? So when people pull up, they feel hospitable, they feel welcome, they feel good. Why? Because it's not just all run down out there. There's not weeds and everything's all over the place. How many know the grass being cut? Mark taking care of that and making sure the weed guy shows up. He takes care of that. So that when you show up, you don't see dandelions all over the place. You say, oh, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. That makes a difference. That's hospitality. That's ministry. That's leadership. That's membership in the body of Christ. You see, when Mark and Service Master cleans this building throughout the week, when you walk in and the building is clean and the rugs are vacuumed and the bathroom has paper towels, most all the time, right, Mark? Most all the time. And if it doesn't, listen, if it doesn't, let us know. Don't complain. Oh, who's the guy who does this? Come on. And you know what? Say that to me, and I'll put you in charge of putting the paper towel in. So don't come grumbling to me. You know, there's no paper towel in here. Okay, you're in charge. Next week, you put it in. Hey, they work hard. They work behind the scenes. He drives from Farmington Hills, not only on Sundays, but two times a week, and has crews here taking care of this building because that's hospitality. That's ministry. That's stewardship. That's leadership. When Terry fixes something for us, when we had the baptismal spring leak and we had to shut the water off, we weren't going to have church the next morning unless Terry and Karen came with them to make sure that the tank was fixed so we could turn the water back on and have church. That's hospitality. That's ministry. That's when Larry and Glenn come during the week multiple times to fix, this is broken, this is chipped, this needs to be replaced. And look, are there still things that are chipped and broken we haven't gotten to? We're working on it. Don't grumble because, again, I'll put you in charge. Nobody's ever going to come talk to me about anything ever again. Listen, can I tell you what? Tell me there's no paper towel, just do it with a smile. And then I'll call Mark, or I'll have Martha call Mark, because that's her. No. Building and ground. How many know that's hospitality? When people pull in and they see that the building looks nice, and we just fixed the gutters, and we just fixed the facades around the building where there was exposed boards. thanks to Daryl and Mark and the board and the guys who committed to doing that, getting it fixed. Why? Because people shouldn't see exposed boards on our building. Shouldn't see chipped paint and things like, because that's hospitality. Come on, somebody. That matters. That makes someone feel better and welcome. That makes someone want to come in the building. Well, they can't even take care of their facade here. They can't even take care of the weed. Are they going to take care of my soul? Building and grounds. Flowers and buildings and things that make things important. Van ministry that picks people up. How many know that's hospitality? So thankful for Jill. Is she here? Is she was there? She's there, and Cheryl just walked out. I think she must have known that was next. She just stepped out a moment. She didn't want to be called out or Judy. And where's Judy? Are you here too? Judy's over there. They drive the van. They're and they took it upon themselves. Jill, I'll tell you what, God bless her, took it upon herself and said, we're gonna get people here that want to be here. That's hospitality. That's ministry. That's stewardship. That's giving to the Lord and giving to the body of Christ. Picking people up for the van. Maybe you say, I can't sing a song, I can't preach, but I can drive a van. We need you. I'd be happy to pick people. I'll come an hour earlier or what, however long you come, maybe earlier than that. I don't know. But they take care of that. If you like to drive, maybe you're good with flowers. Maybe you are good with fixing things around. Listen, that's a ministry. That's something that everybody can have a gift that can work toward hospitality. The welcome team. Now, I know Mike's out of town, and we talked about that. He's out of town today, and Mike Bellish handles our, everybody knows Mike. And Mike gives oversight to our welcome team and has done a wonderful job. We've really made a commitment to making sure everybody feels welcomed. And part of that is, Greg, come on, Greg, wave your over here, Greg. Greg's in the parking lot. How many know it's so nice to pull into the parking lot and have a friendly face. And we need some guys there. We don't want Greg in the parking lot every week. You know, we need some help. We say, well, I can't sing, I can't. I'll go in the parking lot and have a smile on my. You don't know that smile, listen, do you realize that there are 7 points? They talk about the fact that there are 7 steps before a person ever hears a song or hears a sermon. They make a decision whether they like that church or whether they'll return. And it starts with when they show up and they look and says, there's weeds, the paint's chipped, nobody greeted me in the parking lot, I had to walk in alone. Oh, come on. They made a decision already. They never heard a sermon. They never heard a song. We could have all of the wonderful, best things going on, but if people don't pass those first few steps and feel welcomed and valued and loved, we missed it. And we didn't do our job in our ministry. You see, we need people in the parking lot. And then what happens is Janine, and Janine's right here next to, and Terry, she's not here this morning, but again, I'm not singling people out that are not here. I just want you to know that there are people that do these things and they stand at the door. They're our hostesses. They're the main ones to greet people. Why? Because they've got that personality about them and that gift to do. Others help at the door. There's other greeters that work with them. And there are the ushers. Larry, I think he's out in the hallway. Is that what he's out in the hallway? Larry's out in the hallway. And Rick, they help with the ushering and in the hallway and checking the hallway. They even check the parking lot, make sure nothing's going on outside while you're in here, just to keep eye on things. And you know, there's a lot of things that go on that we don't realize that's part of hospitality and ministry. And we need people in those areas, and we need you to help us because everybody needs to be committed to hospitality, to the world. Sue and Denise, and they're not here either this morning. They're here every Sunday, and they're not here this morning. But they're at the Welcome Center. They're the ones handing out things and helping you and assisting you and guiding you with signing up for things and doing things, handing out things. That's so important. The welcome team. All of those different people working together. Did I miss somebody? I hope I didn't forget somebody in there. In the nursery, with Katarina's in the nursery behind the scenes, and those who serve in the nursery. I know we don't call it nursery anymore. What do we call it? Early Childhood Center. Okay. Early Childhood Center. Those who were there. You know what? How many know if a parent doesn't feel like their child's safe and there's a good place for them, they ain't going to come. They ain't going to stay. That matters. That's hospitality. That's ministry. That's leadership. Welcome team. Prayer team. Rick and Merle and all of those that are, I know some of our staff, Pastor Tammy, others. There's others that gather every Boomy are in there every Sunday praying. That's hospitality. They're praying for you that when you come, God will touch you and minister. They're praying for the service that pastor will be anointed, that the songs will minister to you. They're praying that, God will show up in this place. That's hospitality. That's what it's all about. Life groups. Now, right now, we only have one. And Danae, you're over here. I know Mike's gone, but Danae's here. They've been carrying on the life group. I know we called home group. Now it's life groups. We're getting there. I know. But life group. And we have the one that goes on. And some of you have been to the life group. And how many know that's hospitality? Welcoming people into your home. Meeting in small groups. And listen, I'm ready to tell you. And you heard it here first. A news alert. Here we go. By September, we're going to have at least 5 more life groups going. And we're going to want everyone to connect to one. Why? Because you need hospitality. You need fellowship. You need to not just see people on Sunday morning. Mark, thank you. I mean, he's got to take his mom to a function. That's not. How many know he's not mad at me? He's not walking out on me. He told me before, and he has to sometimes with his mom there. And God bless him for making the effort to bring her here and be here. Why? Because that matters. Listen, you see, those things, we need you to get connected to people in smaller groups where you build relationship. You can't do that always on Sunday. We come in, we pray, we go out. We don't always have time to spend time. But in a life group setting, you can break bread together. You can pray together. You can meet people. You can build relationships. And so get ready and help us and be part of that as we develop the life. Communion and Connection Sunday. Why do we do that on mostly the first Sunday of the month? Sometimes schedules change. But we have communion. When Terry prepares the communion and we put that up here and we do that on once a month, that's about fellowship and connecting in relationship to God and others. Connection, afterwards, we put out coffee. The ladies, Grace and Judy and the kitchen ministry, and they set up some food. It's not about the food. It's not about the coffee. It's about hospitality. It's about fellowship. It's about getting to know people, spending a few moments. Some people run out faster on Connection Sunday than they do regular Sunday. Because they don't want to get connected. But that's why we do it. We do it to connect you. Because we love you. We need you. We want you. How many see where I've gone? All right. Now, let me just say this as we close. Would you show that clip? I want you to see this clip. I was watching. I didn't actually see the ceremony. Because honestly, I can't stand these award shows because they get into a lot of things that are not sports. But anyways, Jim Kelly, this is Jim Kelly. He's a former football player for the Buffalo Bills, Hall of Fame quarterback, who's been suffering with throat cancer. And he received the Courage Award at the sports award show the other night. And when I saw, I didn't see the show, but I saw the clip later. And I want to just take a piece out of his thing. I want you to see this. And this really spoke to my heart. Listen to this.
And finally, the fans. I came up with a saying, make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow. When I look across this arena and when I talk to people and I look at people, you don't need to be a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers to make a difference out there. Every single person in this room can be a difference maker. You can be just a normal person who gets up every morning and goes to work. But you can be a difference maker, putting a smile on those faces. My kids, my friends, when they came in to see me, not once did they ever have a frown on their face. So I just urge anybody out there, if you have somebody out there suffering, it doesn't have to be cancer. It could be somebody not having a good day. It could be your mom, your dad. It could be your grandparents. What you say to them, the smile that you have on your face, that can be the difference in them making it the next day. Remember that. Always, always persevere, like Jimmy B said, never ever give up.
Listen, it could be at church on Sunday when someone needs a smile. You don't know who came in this morning and needed someone to smile. You don't know who came in this morning and needed someone to say, we're so glad you're here. You're important to us. Can I do anything to help you? Come on now. Every believer needs to memorize those simple words. Every one of us can be a difference maker for Jesus. Every day and here in the body. Because every day people need someone to care and someone to love. I tell you what, I want this church to be that kind of a difference maker kind of church. The early church, that's how God designed it, was committed to that. That's what we need to be committed to being difference makers, to hospitality. Listen, you're not just, listen, Greg, you're not just a guy in a parking lot. You're a difference maker. Jill, you're not just a van driver. You're a difference maker. I could go right around the room to everybody I called out, and I don't want to take all the time, but you get what I'm saying. You're not just the guy who made the coffee in the morning. You're not just the person who cleaned the bathroom. You're not just the person who planted a flower. You're a difference maker. You're not just the usher that collected the offering and then sat in your seat and didn't seem that important. You're a difference maker. Everybody can be a difference maker in some small way. Now, listen, there's one other thing, and then I'm going to close, and it's still before noon. Hang in there, I promise. I'll try to land this plane like a Hallmark movie. Now, listen. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I just expose the fact that I watch those sometimes with my wife. Okay, now listen. In your bulletin, is there that sheet?
Yeah.
You have another sheet in there. Do not leave here without taking a look at that sheet. Now, that's not exhaustive. And as a matter of fact, we need to update it. But we did change it a little bit and tweak it a bit to cover some things. But most of the things I mentioned today that were on that list of hospitality or van or welcome team or whatever, there's something there. Listen, everybody here can do something. Everybody here can be a difference maker. Everybody in the body. How many know everything will function better and greater and will be more effective, and we will experience more of God when we invest more of ourselves in God's house and God's ministry? Before you leave today, why not check one or two of those areas off and then give it to an usher on the way out or give it to, who's going to be at the thing? Pastor Tammy, you going to be up here this morning? Or okay. Pastor Tammy will be over here with the connection cards and so forth. You can bring them to her. Bring those things to her. Give her, fold it in half. You don't have to let anybody see it. But get it to us. We want to know where you can make a difference and you can help us to make a better difference. And maybe you don't know. Then put your name on there and say, call me, and I'll call you, and we'll talk. And we can figure out a spot, because I mean, there's a place for everybody. And there's something for everyone. Please stand with me a moment. I got to let you go.